Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
And welcome to episode 658 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is November 21st, 2021. I am one of your hosts today, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And we are on this very Twitch channel on YouTube every week, starting Sundays, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, and out in the Central Time Zone, 3 p.m. We, as I mentioned, are on Twitch. We're on YouTube. We also release an audio version. So if you're out, maybe you're doing the treadmill thing, you're out doing some yard work, you just want to have something to listen to, it's perfect. I am not alone, though. Important to note that I am here with two other fine individuals, starting with our member Slash, Kim Woods, not related to Guns N' Roses. Kim, no, on the podcast today.
Howdy, howdy.
Yeah. We'll dive into the whole Slash.
Oh, I was gonna say.
Yeah. We'll get into that in just a moment. Also on the podcast today, the Saint of Ireland, Robin Tate.
I banished all snakes, and I bring in young children to the choir.
And thank God you finished that sentence.
Helping me with the holy oil. It's wonderful. Good evening, everybody. I'm Robin Tate, and I'm in Ballymena, Northern Ireland. And bejesus, begorra, let's get this thing on the road.
Nah, sounding more like an Irish priest every day. All right. No birthdays to celebrate that we know of. If you do have a birthday and we've forgotten it, sorry. I suppose we could just kind of dive into it. If you're not familiar with the podcast, maybe I'll start there. If you're not familiar with us, why not? We're all about gaming, but we're more than just video gaming. We are about life. We talk about all kinds of stuff above and beyond video games. But of course, video games is the common bond. And so we certainly will be talking about video games a lot today. But before we get into the video games, we're going to talk about life. So let's start that off, Robin, shall we?
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right. And right before we get into story time, actually, hey, shout out to Boomer in the chat. I saw that. Hello.
Finally.
Howdy. Hello. You can always join live and be part of the chat, as we would call it, or the chat, you know. And it's an interactive show. We like our listeners. We love our community. So come hang out, be part of it. And we promise we will likely make fun of you. Okay. Let's start with Kim. You have some explaining to do. Let's talk about the Slash. Did it need stitches, first of all?
No okay. Stitches. A little Neosporin, and I think we're good to go. I don't think I'm going to need plastic surgery, but hey, you never know.
Hey, cat scratches can infect very easily. Just saying.
That's why I put Neosporin on it. So, just in case.
Don't want your nose to fall off. That would look awkward.
Right? That would be weird. What was it? There was a movie with a guy that had to have a nose like replacement. He had like a fake nose, and I don't remember what it was.
That is anyway, the best call, by the way, from the Avengers. He doesn't have a nose either.
Remember? Well, there was that guy too. Yeah. I was playing with one of the shop kittens. I was playing with Bruiser today, and I had him like right here, which is probably a bad idea given, but whatever. And his sister was apparently in my lap and decided to, take a munch out of his tail or something. But anyway, it was enough to piss him off that, unfortunately, claws flew and my nose is in the road. So I got a nice little spot here and one on the side of my nose, and it bled like a stuck pig. But all is forgiven. So,
Kim, that is actually not true. While you may have forgiven this cat, it's important we note, cats, if they could, would eat you. They would kill you and eat you if they could. It's just, you know, that's why they have their older cousins, tigers.
Yeah. As I said, like one dirty pussy, one dirty scratch like that, and You're gone. Yeah. Did you never see the movie Teeth?
Mark will love this podcast. This is reaffirming his belief that cats are evil.
I have to put up with it every day anyway, so what else is new? But
I think it's just cats are very authoritarian. If they don't like something, they don't have like the just I will ignore you or walk away gene. They just attack you. They are violent. They bring violence first. That's what cats do.
Oh, I guess. I don't think he meant it, but whatever. So, the no bruiser is fine. You know, he's not lined up against the wall waiting for a firing squad or anything like that. He's fine. You know, it's all good. It's not the first time I've been scratched or bit or whatever. So, whatever. The worst thing I ever did with my nose had nothing to do with the cat. It was a lamp's fault. So, there's that.
I'm glad you clarified this.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just want to let people know what they right now. All right.
Lamp's fault.
Yes, it was a lamp's fault. We had one of those old style lamps that had like the big glass globe on top. And right. I was rearranging a bedroom with the lamp was in. And for some odd reason, I misjudged the distance between the lamp and the wall. So I went to put the lamp next to the wall and I went a little forcefully with it. And I busted that glass globe up against the wall, shattered into a million pieces, cut the top of my nose. I was lucky it didn't like slice the tip of my nose off, you know, because.
You see, Kim. I still remember the photograph of the handcuffs on your head. And this doesn't just sit well with me. I believe you. We'll leave it at that.
We have to. Yes, we're instructed. We have to believe you, Kim. So.
Believe you.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Anyway, my slash on my nose and handcuffs and whatnot, because, dear Lord, this is going to go really weird. I haven't had much to happen this week. It's been kind of a quiet week. I did start some new, which is going to sound really weird and like I'm selling something, but I'm not, I swear. I started some new multivitamins that a friend of mine was selling, and she promised me that, you know, you'd sleep better and you'd have more energy and shit like that. And I've noticed within the last couple of months, like in the afternoon, my energy just sucks. Like I could lay down and take a nap and, you know, be no better for it. And
I know what the problem actually is.
What's that?
You're getting old.
Right? Longer, so I was like, shit. And I'm only 43, and I'm like, and if this shit's starting now, what am I going to be like in 10 more years? I might as well just put my ass at home and be done with it.
That stuff was starting for me when I was like 30. I would like, go out in the parking lot where I worked. I would just take a nap in my car for like 20 minutes, and I was good to go. But I always had to do it like, I'm a post-lunch napper.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Really bad, and she's like, "We'll try these vitamins, and they've got weird stuff in them, like spirulina and like kelp and seaweed, and I don't know, all these things that are apparently natural and good for you, but I wouldn't eat them on a regular basis. But I guess I will swallow them in pill form, so whatever." And long story short, I've been on it for about a week, and maybe it's not bullshit. I have slept better, which maybe in turn, if you think about it, if I sleep better, which is probably why I'm not tired in the afternoons now. But it seems like I've been able to chug through into the afternoons and not need a nap. So I don't know.
Robert, are you okay there?
Yes. I'm not going to tell a lie, so I'm not going to say anything.
Fair enough. Okay. Kim, we've been instructed to ask you about the dungeon.
Thanks, Boomer. There is no dungeon, despite what other people... Actually, I don't have the dungeon over here anymore. That's at the old house, because I know...
So you did have a dungeon?
Well, sort of.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask anymore. I don't want to incriminate you on anything. So we will just politely move forward.
All right.
I've been watching Billions, you see. So I believe that anything is possible, you know?
Yeah.
And serious law people and psychiatrists like to have dungeons. Anyway.
We should give
you a CF, Kim. Yeah.
Well, Kim, I mean, you did also post out a tweet with your Magic 8 Ball earlier this week. So, maybe you are collecting people in a dungeon. I'm just saying.
it has been a long dry spell. No, that's all right. You don't worry about my safe word. Just ask Boomer what his safe word is. We all know about the banana boom. I'm just saying.
I am not going there at all. Kim, anything else?
No, no, that's it. So, you know, multivitamins, who the hell knew? These might actually work. I don't know. Ask me again in a week and, you know, they might be right. Bullshit.
Yeah, are now. You going to ask us to buy them as well? And is it going to be a no. subscription?
No, I'm not. Oh, God, no, I wouldn't do that. Although I will say, when she first told me what they all cost, and I about, you know, had a kitten right then and there. But if they work, they'll be worth that. So, we'll
see. So you've managed to keep an erection now for more than 5 minutes with these tablets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If it lasts longer than 4 hours, Kim, please consult your doctor.
Will do.
All right. Robin, what has been going on in your neck of the woods, my friend? Right.
So the best thing about my week, or one of the best things, there hasn't been many, but one of the best things, and the bar is quite low here, is Sapporo Ichiban ramen noodles.
That is like at the top of the list, Robin. That's not low. That's huge.
I try those.
How high the bar is this week. It's very high. These ramen noodles, I know they're super noodles, UK people. I know they are, but these are special. Drop an egg into it, some veg into it. And it's a meal, complete, ready in less than 5 minutes. It's fabulous. Love it. And Greg had kindly sent me over one pack with five. And I've ordered
from Amazon. Yeah, real quickly, Kim, you can buy these actually very inexpensively where you live. That's the good news. I paid a small fortune to send them to Robin.
Yeah. Well, they're bloody expensive over here as well. So I don't know how much they are for a 5-pack over there. I can't imagine it's more than $8 or $10. I can't imagine it's more than that. Right. But it's like it was £21 to get them delivered to here. Yeah. And so in a couple of weeks' time, we have four large suitcases checked onto the flight, and one suitcase is coming back because we don't need that. So one case is coming back full of it's on ramen smuggling duties.
You see now, Robin stopped at the border check, if you will.
Anything to declare?
Ramen smuggler, yeah. Can you please explain the 50 packs of ramen in your suitcase?
What can I say? I like to have a good bath. The other thing, my son was over in London with his girlfriend. That was a big trip. And he came back and he brought me some beautiful couture chocolates, which were lovely. And I've had one every night, being very, very disciplined. And Judith's had one in this little box. But he brought me this other thing here, and it's a can, a black can, for the people that aren't watching, and it's from the Hoxton Street Monster Supplies Company. And it's a black can with like a paint can where you have to pop the lid on, and it says that inside it is a vague sense of unease. Now, I have to admit that when I took the screwdriver to this can to open it up, it worked because I was terrified of what was actually going to be inside it. I didn't know. Was it going to jump at me? Was it going to do anything? So fair play to you. A fantastic little piece of marketing. Inside it was actually some humbug, like hard sweets, like mint.
Oh, okay.
Sweets.
All right.
But I just thought it was fantastic. It just it did exactly what it said on the tin. So that was really good. Okay. One of our foster children, who we've had for 14 years, has moved on this week to a specialist place for him. We still will be in contact with him. But that was tough. That was a hard week. And one of our special lads that has moved on, we'll still very much see him, but we hear he's settled in very, very well. He is bringing the medical trolley around with the nurse to hand out medications. He's
good man.
Already ruling the roost down there and being a drug dealer.
Love it.
That was a tough week. And we had a year's notice. We gave our notice a year gone by. But even still, it was...
Right.
Yeah.
You had him since what, four?
Four years old.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing.
And just funny things, like tonight on some weekends he would have went away for a weekend to give us some respite, and on a Sunday evening at About 6:15, he would have arrived home. And that's what I always called the hour of power. Judith would have went out to a church thing. He's on a Sunday meeting. So he would arrive home and I would have to give him his dinner and then get him upstairs and changed and nappy, new fresh nappy on and the bed freshly made and into bed. And then Jasmine dressed and nappied and story read. And there's that like hour of power, I would call it. And even tonight, it was kind of odd because the 6:15 came along and
it was like a half hour of power.
It just felt like it felt like it was a week. It was a normal, like a respite weekend, but it wasn't because he hasn't been back. Look, we're okay, but just it was just a bit odd.
Well, I will say I had the pleasure of meeting him. And of course I draw a lot of parallels, to him. And I'm assuming we shouldn't name names to, you know, keep him.
No, it's Glenn. Yeah. I mentioned.
Okay. Glenn. So many parallels with Glenn and Colin.
Yeah.
So of course, you know, it was a bit emotional for me when I got that news from you. I was just like, oh, you know, just a, it was a big thump, but, I'm super excited to hear he is, you know, he's made a good transition.
Still very much involved. We still will buy all his clothes. We still will look after his finances and other bits and pieces like that. And there are certain things that we can offer him, like a loving family thing, family household, that he get there just in the same way. But there are other things that he will get there. He'll be mixing with another 14 young adults in this place with in the similar position as him, so he'll be mixing with them. There's constant entertainment. You know, he's already been on trips out to a castle for a day and different bits, not the Lacey, but another castle. So
good.
They can offer him that, which we can't. And when you think about it, you know, there was a bit of guilt there as well.
Of course, but I mean, as he's getting older and you guys, you know, I mean, it's important to understand, and I don't know that necessarily a lot of people do truly understand what you guys do, but you know, you and Judith, you foster additional children above and beyond your own children. And fostering can be a more of a permanent placement like Glenn was, or it can be more of a temporary placement, like, you know, somebody just coming in for the night. But it's important work. It's extremely challenging. I cannot underline that enough. And I mean, I don't even know the fullness of that challenge, but I do have an idea, having visited and kind of understand what you guys go through on a day-to-day basis. So, you guys, when I say you're a saint, I do kind of mean it, Robin. You and Judith really do some amazing things, and you do things that just the average person couldn't and wouldn't. Wow.
Yeah. So. Well, unfortunately, I mean, trying to do like the one night respite it was the thing I was trying to do a long time there. But Judith soon realized that the Swedish massage model wasn't at 24 years old, wasn't really there as a child to be in respite. No, that didn't work. No, look, yeah, and Glenn's gone. We still have three other foster children and my own two boys as well. So, and Jasmine, funny enough, at 3.5 years old, is going. Because yesterday morning I cleared Glenn's room, wallpaper, carpet up, big bed removed, you know, right back, because it has to, because it needed it. But she's going, "That's my room.
All right.
Yes. And finally, I am on Friday afternoon. Because of foster carers and stuff like that there as well, we always get called up to get our vaccine, our flu jab every year. But not only that, we got our Wu Flu booster. So I had the Wu Flu in one arm and the flu jab in the other arm. And the first couple of Wu Flu jabs didn't affect me at all, apart from sore arm. But yesterday I felt like shit. I woke up, Judith was fine. But I had achy bones, like I had the cold or the flu, and just felt rotten and skin crawling, and a bit green this morning. But I'm okay again. So that's just that wee reaction to it.
I will admit, I don't think I would have gotten them at the same time. I would have done one or the other, just for that very reason.
At once, so.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you're a double prick.
So I'm double being.
Well, I kind of already knew that, but all right.
Yeah, I know. We did. So. Okay. Anything else, Robin?
Not just it. No, I did watch the Why thing that was recommended to us. That's very interesting. I've only watched one. This, sorry, you have to explain as well. This week has been kind of nutty. Not only that stuff going on, but very, very, very busy with work. The store with the customer that we will mention no names will open this week. Mm-hmm. So that big, 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 big project and another massive project opening way down south and other stuff that's going on, just kind of crazy. So my life has not been my own. So very, very, very little time. I caught myself starting working at 11 o'clock again one evening. Trying to catch up. So it's been that way. So so Y was recommended. Very cool. Very well done so far. I've only watched the first one. The premise is, as far as I can see,
everything. I could just do this all day. Why?
Everything. Yeah. Sonic Jasmine. Everything with a Y chromosome in the world dies pretty much all at the same time.
Ah, okay.
So all male doggies, all male cats, all male boys. Yeah. Not sure about the trans people, but whatever. But all the males, they all kind of go. They're all gone. Just like that. The president, who's a man at the time, you know, they get rumors of this happening around the world. So within a 5-minute period, they just drop. So pilots in the flying in the sky, planes fall out of the sky and it's only women left. What a friggin' nightmare. And one man.
One lucky soul.
So watch the first episode. It looks very, very promising. And Boomer's saying that I should read the graphic novel. Does the picture, right. Boomer? Of course it does, graphic novel. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. Watching it, finished off the first season of Billions as well. It's very, very good. But I am going to go back to... Oh, yes, and Kim, also, because it's been sort of collapsed in front of the telly and watching one episode of something, Yellowstone. You asked me to watch Yellowstone.
Yes, uh-huh. It's good.
And it I've been watching the first couple of it, and there are so many twists and turns. They're
keep with it.
Things. So many twists and turns. You had to buy the series over here. It's not available anywhere for free. Unless you were doing something dodgy. But yeah, I like all of the ways that it's going. There's going to be so much twisting and turning. I like the daughter. I've just been finished the one with the daughter and what happened to the mum.
We'll just keep watching.
She's such a character. Wow.
Yeah.
It's very good. Good. Yeah, so thank you. And it is in the vein of Longmire, I suppose, and also what was the other one like that too? Long younger version of Longmire, Justified. So Justified, Longmire, and this one is star Kevin Costner. He fits the role very, very well.
It's like it's his life. I mean,
it's very, very good. You know.
Okay.
So that's me. Yeah. So work, getting rid of people, having two pricks in my body at once. And a bit of, and noodles and why. That sounds like a good week, actually.
It is.
It really does. Better than my week.
What about you? See.
Well, I'll jump back to last week. The whole reason why I wasn't on the podcast, and I know you guys had talked about it a little bit, but our son went in for surgery. So he is now officially, I call him the bionic man. He had a vagus nerve stimulator implanted in his body. So if you're not familiar with what that is, which I don't blame you, it basically is a small monitoring device that goes in over basically kind of your heart on your left pec. They put it kind of underneath the fat tissue, but over the muscle tissue. But then they connect it with a wire. It goes up and it connects to your vagus nerve, which is sitting behind one of the lesser arteries in your neck.
Thank you very much.
Pretty amazing. It's just... two small incisions. It was an outpatient surgery, which was crazy. But the device, what it does, it monitors your heart rate. So when you have seizures, and this is something I never really knew, but your heart rate jumps to a level that is just even more so than what you would normally get. Even if you started exercising really fast and hard, your heart rate jumps even faster than that. And so the vagus nerve stimulator will detect that. And then it will utilize magnetic electric pulses and it sends it up into your vagus nerve to help try and basically offset what's happening with the seizure. It's a very layman's way of looking at it. There's also a little magnet that you get. You can manually activate it. And it just feels like little pulses. It kind of tickles. It kind of tickles your throat area. And so that will get, you know, that sits in him now moving forward. It has a battery. It'll get swapped out eventually with a new battery put into it. And it helps seizures.
When will you start to see, or will you just notice that, my God, it was a long time since he had a seizure?
That's basically what it boils down to. Although the neurologist, he'll check in with him from time to time and he'll get it dialed in. He can actually take a reading of it and see how many times the device has actually been activating. I mean, we're post-surgery, and so anesthesia often will lessen the chance for seizure activity, but we have not noticed any seizures for him this past week. So, I mean, he's still obviously recovering from everything, but we're kind of really crossing our fingers because the seizure activity had been getting really bad. Hair in my face. So beyond that, you may have noticed.
Oh, yeah.
There's not sitting on the floor. So I'll just try and do a quick little pan if I can.
The bailiff's in, Greg?
No. So we're getting new carpet put in.
Oh.
And so we have to, it's all happening tomorrow and the next day. So I'm cleaning up my office. Everything's off the ground. And so it's all out in the garage, but it's actually going to be a good time for me to redo all of my displays and stuff. So, I'm actually going to buy a new display case and
wow.
I mess with this, but anyway, so I'm going to buy a new display case because I want to kind of keep things inside of it. So I don't have to dust as often because it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yep.
We'll have a little bit of a change out in terms of how this all looks, but that will be forthcoming after Thanksgiving. Figure that out sometime then. Wow.
So when stop for Thanksgiving then?
So our Thanksgiving, we are going down on Wednesday to my in-laws, my wife's mother and father. We're going to go hang out with them. We'll be there Wednesday, Thursday, and then we drive back Friday morning. It's about a 2.5-3 hour drive to get to them. So not short, but not too long. So, we'll do the Thanksgiving.
Blankets? Do you have pigs in the blanket at Thanksgiving? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. No. Her family tends to be more traditional. I keep trying to talk everybody into just one year, just doing like Chinese food and just something totally fun and easy. They like to do the whole turkey dinner thing, so we'll have turkey and pumpkin pie and cranberry and stuffing. One of the traditions we now have adopted for with her family, because my family, our Thanksgiving, see, I have two families. We would go to a movie Thanksgiving night. It was kind of our tradition. We'd always go to like see the newest whatever it was. Well. Her family doesn't do that. They love to play games and traditionally they like just to play, they'll put together puzzles, which drives me nuts because I fucking hate puzzles. Yeah. But we have adopted this tradition now of playing minute to win it games. So we create a whole bunch of different minute to win it games. So like it could be a stack of 40 cups, red solo cups, but there'll be one blue cup and you have to get the blue cup from the bottom to the top the fastest. And we, you know, we have this competition between everybody. There's usually like nine or you know, eight of us at Thanksgiving. So just as fun. And we buy a whole bunch of lottery scratcher tickets for winners. So anybody can win and it makes it fun. You never know what you're going to win. It could be something. It could be nothing.
I think you should get just a box of cards against humanity and that'll certainly swap it up a bit.
We do have a game called Exist, which it's not quite Cards Against Humanity, but it's a little bit different. Basically, the game, there's a person that's you take turns. Everybody's a determiner. And the cards, you have three. There's the place, the opponent, and then a wild card. And so basically, it's you're going to get these three cards that's going to put up a scenario of something trying to kill you. So it could be nuns taking a vow of silence are trying to kill you in the Antarctic, and the wild card could be everybody's drinking rum, just weird things like that. But then you get dealt seven cards, and those cards are just different items, different things that you could use to defeat this obstacle. And so you have to pick the best one that you think out of your deck would work. Everybody else that's not the, you know, the person has to pick a card. And then you basically give those to the decider. The decider looks through the different options of what everybody's saying would be the solution. And the decider then hears everybody kind of argue back and forth of why their version or their thing is better than somebody else's. And the decider makes the call and it moves on to the next person. And you pass the decider role to the next person to your left. And so just everybody gets a turn being a decider. And I mean, there's a scoring system to it, but honestly, it's just about the scenarios and the craziness that happens within it. So, but yeah. So anyway, so we like to play games during Thanksgiving. That's the tradition. Yeah, so looking forward to that. Looking forward to just more time away from work, which is always nice. I have been watching Goliath. I had never seen Goliath. I always saw it advertised. Billy Bob Thornton is one of my favorite actors. I just never bothered to just turn it on. And so finally, I turned it on last week. It was like during my lunch hour, and I ended up watching like three episodes back to back during my lunch hour. So lunch went a little long. It is a really good, I mean, I want to call it like a lawyer drama.
Lawyer, detective.
Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint what you would call it, but I mean, it's focused around Billy Bob Thornton, who is this lawyer that really fell on hard times because he has drinking problems. And then he gets a case that basically unravels into a very large case against a defense contractor, more or less. Some crazy things happen, and there's a few different moments in this show where I was just like open jaw, like hit the floor. Yeah. Like you just don't see something happening. I don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't watched it yet, but
continues, Greg. It continues, yeah, even into the next season as well.
Oh, it's, yeah, it's on season four now, from what I understand. So yeah,
good. It's good.
Yeah.
It's
different. Yeah. So I am enjoying it so far. I'm almost to the end of season one. I'm not quite there yet. So, So really good. And then an audiobook to recommend.
Next, three shots of the chaser. That's what he's like.
Ruins of the Galaxy. So Ruins of the Galaxy is our favorite book series of all time, Robin, with R.C. Bray.
Okay.
Expeditionary Force.
Yes.
It's kind of Expeditionary Force.
Oh, okay.
But instead of a talking tin can alien device, it has a talking weapon. I feel like it's been influenced by Expeditionary Force to a degree, but it not to the same level. But it is a cross between Expeditionary Force and a little bit of Arisen, because it's a lot of military jargon, because you're following a military squad within this. So I've been enjoying it so far. It is narrated by R.C. Bray, of course. So that was how I discovered it. It's good. It's good. You may take exception though, because the talking voice takes on what they call a John Cleese personality. And so it's R.C. Bray doing an English accent.
Well-educated English accent. What?
Ish. But it is entertaining nonetheless. So I've been enjoying that. So it's a good listen. But yeah, so that's me. That's me. Done.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Let's talk some games.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you're going to play the game, boy, you got to learn to play it right.
Oh, that's just that simple. Okay, so the end of the month is almost here. Not quite. So we don't know anything new coming out for our games that we pay for that we get for free. So we can kind of skip over this. I think just worth pointing out, they're all available to the end of the month at this point. So you know what you've got if you want it. Let's talk about what we have been playing. Let's start with Kim. Kim, or should I call you Slash? What would you prefer?
Whichever. I don't care.
Okay. All right. Slash, talk to me. Gears 4. You're kind of going a little bit in back order here.
I know, right? well, you know, I've always been a little backwards, so why not video game-wise, too? Boomer started to play Gears 4. I haven't actually played Gears 4. I mean, I played a little bit with Tony when he was going through the story, because Tony actually beat this game already. So, little shit. I thought, well, what the hell? We've already played 5. I've played 3, obviously. So I'm like, well, why not play 4? I haven't done it yet. I might as well see. Maybe I can put some more pieces of the puzzle where 5 picked up. And I was like, okay, well, how did this happen? And why are they like this now? And yada, yada, yada.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm not exactly sure which act we're on, because we did a pretty good chunk there yesterday. And I have to say with this game, they, like, made achievements for everything. I mean, it seemed like every time you did even a little something, something, boom, 5 points. And I'm not complaining necessarily about that, but it's just weird. It's like you walk into a room and shoot 3 drones, and all of a sudden, boom, you got an achievement for that. And it's like, okay.
I mean, part of me likes that, but then part of me hates it, because it's just like 5 gamer score. It's like 5 points here, 5 points there.
Right.
You're like, honestly, where are the big achievements?
Right.
So question. So in Gears 5, if I remember correctly, they do like a recap at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Kind of giving you this. Did you not watch that, or
I guess I don't know. It had been enough time between when I started Gears 5 and then when I finished it, so I probably forgot. You know.
Now the bigger question. So, how are you liking Gears 4? Story wise,
I like Gears 4. Believe it or not.
Are you liking it better than 5 or same?
About the same. I mean, because it's more or less a continuation of. You know, 5 is more or less a continuation of 4. And yes, even though actually I hadn't played 4 yet, you know, it's not so different.
Right.
So,
I enjoyed it. You know, it's good.
Yeah, right. I was laughing, though, because, you know, you go and you meet Marcus. And when you played 5, Marcus was already back and yada, yada, yada. Well, in 4, of course, he's been retired and hiding out and whatever. And I had to laugh because, you know, Marcus has always been kind of a grumpy ass. But in 4, I swear to God, it's like they amped it up and made him, like, majorly, majorly grumpy. I mean, he was, like, double grumpy. It was hilarious because he was the proverbial grumpy old man. So, I mean, he was pissed off about everything. So, that was kind of hilarious. And it was funny because some of the shit he would say would remind me of my dad. I'm like, well, I can see Dad saying that. So, I don't know. Maybe my dad's the kind of human version of Marcus Fenix. I don't know. But it was just hilarious how much more of a grouch ass they made Marcus from 3 to 4. And, you know, to see how that kind of played out and how they blew up his house. And he was mad about that. And they blew up his truck. And then he was mad about that. And so that was kind of funny.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But anyway, it definitely shows how the Hive, you know, transformed into, of course, what they are in 4 and then what they are in 5, because that was one of the kind of the pieces of the puzzle I missed, because I didn't know exactly how the Hive that we knew from 3 and everything else turned into what they are from 5. I had kind of missed that in there somewhere. So it's neat to finally figure out, okay, how they became and went from this to this. So that was neat, being a kind of a, I don't know if you want to call me a Gears nerd, but I did kind of like, you know, how they transitioned all that and how the baddies from 1 turned into the baddies from the other and how they're actually all the same thing. They're not something different. So
I'm really sure I got the robots. The robots, I mean, they were okay, but they
DBs, sort of,
sort of like
the BBs.
Sort
of, they kind of overstayed their welcome, I felt like, in 4.
A wee bit, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. All right. Awesome. Robin, you and I both have been putting time in on Forza 5.
Tiny little bit.
Yeah.
Tiny bit. So talk more about Forza.
Well, I mean, really, I probably haven't put any much more time in it than you have. I mean, I think I put in maybe 2 races, but one of them, it was an off-road race that was calling for kind of SUV-like vehicles, and I ended up buying a Warthog. I wanted the Warthog. So I have the Warthog in Horizon. It handles like a pig. It is not the best of steering, if you will. So they definitely don't have that 4-wheel steering involved in it, but it does have a decent amount of power and acceleration to it. So
what's your registration plate? Did you change it? Did you edit your registration plate when you were setting up your profile?
I did. I put, I now have tank top as my plate.
Yes.
Mine's Brandon.
Brandon. See, we'll have to line three of us up, and one of us could have Let's, and the other person have Go, and then you have Brandon, and we just take a picture of that, screenshot that.
Let's go, Brandon.
Oh, good Lord. So Forza Horizon 5, still a fantastic game, still the cream of the crop so far in 2021, if you ask me. And we will be talking about Forza Horizon 5 a little bit later when we get to the news section. For now, though, I will talk a little bit about Halo Infinite, that also in our news section. But I have been playing the multiplayer beta, in quotes, because they basically released Halo Infinite on Monday. The multiplayer, it is technically a beta. So they're calling it a beta, and that the official release will still happen on, I think it's December 8th when the game launches properly. So they're giving themselves a little bit of leeway here. But from everything I've seen and heard and experienced myself, it is great. My son, of course, is adding his own sound effects right next to the door for me. Yeah, he agrees. He agrees. It is fantastic. One second.
It's okay.
Right.
Yeah. So have you touched on any of the free multiplayer thing that came for general?
I haven't, and I need to, because somebody even asked me if I've even started a Battlefield yet, and I haven't. So I know. I know. It's like, and I was telling Laura the same thing. And I said, right now, I said, you've got Forza. I said, you've got Halo Infinite, and you've got Battlefield. So, I mean, it's a big time right now for multiplayer. So you just kind of have to pick your poison. So, yeah,
So thank you for that bearing with me. So interestingly, we probably should talk a little bit about Battlefield, because it is not getting the best reception. A lot of bugs, isn't. Apparently. And that's... You know, the game is what they promised, but just a lot of bugs. So it's just kind of a mess right now in terms of that. So Halo Infinite multiplayer has just had this great reception because the game itself, relatively polished. The one real complaint about Infinite has been the Battle Pass progression.
Yes.
So people earning the rewards, if you will, for new armor sets, that kind of thing. They've been really stingy with the amount of experience you get. They are tweaking that. And so they actually already have a planned tweak that is going into effect already. And they will be wiping, I guess, some of the resetting progression on Monday as part of that reset. But they're going to give some additional things like just a daily, play a game every day type thing. And you'll get experience just for being in a game. I think they will further tweak this, and this is again part of the whole beta part of it. So they're giving themselves a little bit of a couple of weeks to do some additional fine tuning, and I think it's all really going to be on the Battle Pass side. They're just going to have to tweak and change up that experience to where people feel like they can progress. Right now, it just feels like the pace is just too slow. But yeah, it plays great. I love the training mode in this game. So if you are not familiar with Halo and you are or leery, they have a complete training mode section that you can go in and play against bots. You can go in and just go to a firing range and play with the different weapons. And what's awesome in the training mode session for the playing with bots is you can actually turn off bots. You can actually just cruise around the map itself and just familiarize yourself with each map with no consequence. You're not going to feel like you're letting your team down by not trying to participate and just, understand the layout.
I even look at this now. And when you're talking about those game modes, this is more and more like Quake every day, every time. And when I was playing Quake, Quake was
right
a lot of hours every day sort of thing when it was way out there for me. And that was the whole you can switch the bots off just to, and I used to run around and learn the levels and where I could jump from. And every pixel perfect thing, and it is more, it's the roots are there as well, you know, that it's in this high speed, especially this multiplayer stuff. It's so, so cool.
Well, and the interesting thing about, you know, which I never really thought about, but Halo is faster paced on one hand than, say, a Battlefield, but it's also slower because the time to death is slower because you have shields and then you have your health, which you don't have, of course, in a Battlefield game or Call of Duty game. So it really, I think it adds a layer of strategy that those games lack. And I mean, they've just really knocked it out of the park. And what's interesting is there is, you know, within, you know, there's cosmetic stuff that you can earn and level up, but there's no pay to win path in this game. And I think that's important. And also it's relatively bug free. I mean, it has just been a smooth gameplay. It's already got more players on Steam than Battlefield does in continuous players. So it's already, so that's saying a lot. So it's interesting because I think EA probably had to have not been happy hearing that Halo was going to launch basically the same week Battlefield did, because of course Battlefield launched to a freaking mess. And then Halo Infinite has just kind of come in. It's a free to play game. So it is, it's getting a lot of players. It's an interesting time for Halo, for sure. And there's been some reports now on the campaign. A lot of people are previewing the campaign. And I think the good news for those that were concerned that it was becoming Far Cry, the feedback I have cursorily read, because I've tried to avoid spoilers, is it's not being Far Cried. There are those kind of influences in some respect, but they don't overdo it. Yes, there are going to be, you know, kind of compounds you're going to come across within Halo Infinite that you can fight and you know, basically take over the base. But Far Cry, they're everywhere. And in Halo Infinite, they're sparsely within the map. It's not like it's just, you know, every other second. So anyway, I'm excited for Halo Infinite. Microsoft really right now is ending the year on a super high note. They're definitely firing on all cylinders when it comes to the games they released. And again, Game Pass, just crazy that this is all part of Game Pass on top of it all. That's it for me, though. That's the extent of my games played. So we do have some news to talk about. So why don't we jump into the news?
Absolutely.
Nice Bieber.
Here
is the fucking news.
All right, so news. It's interesting. There's you'd think this would be a slow time of the year for news, but it's not been the case. So we all know Activision ran into some trouble earlier in the year. And there were people that were fired, people left, and then you know, they brought in some new individuals into Activision. I forgot the woman's name, but was it Jen Psaki? I think I could be wrong. O'Neil. Jen O'Neil. And she has since left.
Circle back on that one.
Yeah. But what came out this past week, one was numerous Activision Blizzard employees, upwards of 800, have signed a petition calling for Bobby Kotick to be, removed. And part of that is also a revelation from the Wall Street Journal that basically uncovered that Bobby Kotick this entire time knew about these sexual misconduct allegations within the company, and that he deliberately was, in a sense, kind of shielding and keeping the board in the dark about those events. And if you think about it, you know, obviously he had an active hand in probably trying to mitigate and bury them. So a lot of people not happy with them. In fact, Sony and Microsoft both have come out publicly and made statements that they are concerned about what's going on at Activision and Blizzard, and they are evaluating their relationships. Sony in particular, I think, is right now in a little bit of a difficult situation because they have the Call of Duty Vanguard marketing deal in place. So, you know, obviously they have to walk a little bit of a fine line in terms of that. But I don't think anybody's truly happy about what's going on within Activision.
Well, here's what I'll say. He should step aside.
Agreed. I totally agree. Step
aside for now. But as the last few weeks in America especially has proven, you shouldn't make assumptions without evidence. So the words in that little statement there are alleged and reportedly and thing, you know, and well aware, you know, people are making assumptions. So
right.
let's say he should step aside for the sake of the company and the business. And then if these things become right, you know, let's not ruin a man's life because of alleged things that are going on. Let it go to court or the
And I will say this, all of this is civil. None of this is criminal. Yeah. I think Bobby Kotick, even if he left today, the man is not going to ever be hurting for money in his life.
Oh, no.
So I agree. I think for Activision Blizzard right now, I think it is critical that they have a calming, just a move that is made that calms the waters. And Bobby Kotick certainly could say, you know what, for now I will temporarily vacate the helm, or even he could say he just will vacate the helm period, because at the end of the day, this is also one of those things when you think about it, you know, like, do I really need all of this in my life? You know, maybe he's just better off walking away from it in general. I think
If he's done these things, scumbag. But if he's not, you know, he should be given time to clear his name as best he can. But
Russia's judgment certainly needs to be metered, as you said, Robin. We can't rush the judgment.
Every aspect of life.
We live in a day and age where rush to judgment absolutely is, part of our norm, unfortunately. So, but all that aside, I think for Activision Blizzard in particular, the company, as I look at the company, I think it would behoove them to have some meaningful change, if nothing else, for something for their investors to feel like there actually is meaningful change being made, and for the employees to feel like, you know what, we actually are making the right moves, even in the face of if it's just even unfounded, so to speak.
Sexual misconduct should now be down to the last Thursday every second month, and everybody
absolutely only during the lunch hour. Only during the lunch hour. Got to remember this, folks. All right. Do you remember the game 6 Days in Fallujah?
Yes.
Very controversial. A game about the Iraq War. They had claimed that they were trying to take a very realistic approach to it with no politics involved in it, which I think that was a little bit comical because I think the Iraq War was heavily political in many ways. But they are delaying the game to 2022, the last quarter of 2022, which is a pretty significant delay because I think it was supposed to be a 2021 launch originally. But I want to see this game come out. I want to see what the final product is. And I hope, I really do hope that they can do right for this game and actually have something that...
I hate this shit. Yeah, again, I'm sorry. Like one of the games, and I think about it now, and it still affects me. Spec Ops: The Line.
Yeah.
And it was a really hard. There's some parts of that game. That wasn't the game. You know, that was, you know, when the white phosphorus. We will remember that scene. And then at the end, realizing this guy's lost his marbles and his marlies, and what's real and what isn't real, and the PTSD that these guys have, and the horribleness of war, you know, it can be done well, it can be done right, and it can be, and shocking as well is still nothing wrong with shocking. If it's an adult game, maybe there's a message in that adult game of that too. So
that's what I hope. That is my hope. And you know, it's kind of exactly for that reason. You know, Spec Ops: The Line was a fantastic game, had great critical reception. I don't think it necessarily sold great, but it was a game that said some things that were, you know, that were not kind of towing the line, and it talked about areas that were challenging. So I'm hoping 6 Days in Fallujah can pull that off. I'm hoping it is a meaningful game and not just skins on a shooter.
Yeah, I mean, they don't change into some sort of like chef game like six pieces of falafel or something like that there.
Although that could be an amazing game. Let's be honest. Six pieces of falafel. I probably would play that. Shout out to Lord in the chat. I just want to give him a quick shout out. Okay, let's talk about the big controversy. I mean, there's the Activision stuff, the 6 days. This year's VGA nominees came out. Okay. And we should talk real quickly for Game of the Year. And there's a lot of different categories, mind you. But for Game of the Year, the games that hit the top, if you will, that made the nomination and are being considered for Game of the Year are Deathloop, It Takes Two, Metroid Dread, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet & Clank, A Rift Apart, and Resident Evil Village. I can safely say I have played only one of those games, Psychonauts 2. Out beyond that, I mean, every one of those games has been well received as far as I know, and you know, they have good scores overall. But it was definitely noticed that the highest rated Metacritic game of 2021 was missing from this list, and that is Forza Horizon 5. And of course, this caused a gigantic bit of a Twitter shitstorm, and Twitter can be a bit of a shitstorm regardless. But a lot of people were taking exception to that. It was hard to understand how it wasn't there, and I still have a difficult time with it. And I think this points more to a problem within the VGA nomination process and how they weight things versus necessarily, I'll just say, I think it points to that. I don't think there was any ill intention here. Basically, what we understand now is the VGAs have a cutoff date, and I think the cutoff date was like November 1st or something like that. And then other games could come in if they were released in the following windows, but the November 1st window was the first time people could start voting. And you had up until, I think, November 15th to add any additional games, or you could add in something that wasn't on the list. And I guess Forza Horizon 5 didn't make the initial quote-unquote list, but it was released within the window that could be considered. But I think what it boils down to is most
Sorry, I have the nominees playing at the moment. Sorry for interrupting you. And Forza Horizon 5 is in this loop of...
People weren't voting for it for Game of the Year. They were voting for it for Best Racer, Technical Achievement Awards. Okay. It is nominated within the VGAs, but it is not nominated for Game of the Year. And it just is odd because its Metacritic score, which is, of course, a collection of all of the different reviewers, is higher than any other game on that list. So, again, odd that the best rated game of the year per the critics isn't in the running for Game of the Year. That's where the big hubbub came about. So, is it genre bias? And that was what a lot of people were saying. A racing game is never going to get considered for Game of the Year. And I think there is probably some truth to that, because I think from a critic standpoint, the reviewers, they tend to gravitate towards the story-driven games, the, you know, third-person action type games that have story to them.
Are these Jeff Keighley's games? Are they awards? Is this his, sorry?
Yes. The VGAs are Jeff Keighley's award ceremony.
Do you know what it is? It has now gathered pace to be something taken seriously now when you're watching.
Exactly.
This.
Exactly. So I feel like
5 or 6 years ago,
there was a great article written by Jez Corden of Windows Central talking about this. He was basically saying that the snub for Forza Horizon 5 is not just a snub on video games, but it's a snub on the industry and developers. And I think there's a little truth to that, because I think as video game critics, they tend to look at the emotional games, the games that, you know, they had the great story to them. And Forza Horizon 5 is not that game. But I think the technical achievements, the things that they had to do to make that game, absolutely are worthy of being considered for Game of the Year. And you know, Forza Horizon 5 is a crowning achievement of a lot of developer, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. And so I would love to see the VGAs adopt something that not just takes in video game critics in terms of what they feel are the best games, but actually goes out to developers and gets developers to weigh in on making nominations. And maybe you just say, you know, developers, you can't nominate your own game, but look at other games out in the industry and make some, you know, and weight their opinion. Because you do get the you know, the gamers will have a say in who wins. I think our vote counts for like 10%. And there is a People's Choice Award. So certainly Forza Horizon 5 can win the People's Choice Award. But again, I just think this kind of this year, it highlighted a little bit of a hole in how the VGA process happens. We'll see if Jeff Keighley makes some changes in the coming years. I hope he does, because this just feels like it's glaringly odd that Forza Horizon 5 is not part of the Game of the Year, you know, conversation. So, okay. Any thoughts on the games that are in that list? What would you who do you think wins? You know, Deathloop was pretty hot and heavy for the, you know, when it first released, but I think the conversation died off in that pretty quick. It Takes Two. I know somebody, I think somebody in the chat had mentioned it.
He's played it, but
yeah,
Cyberpunk is back, still in there for lots of stuff. So
right. But in terms of the game of the year, it's just these six.
Oh God, sorry, I'm thick.
Yeah, that's okay. You're Irish.
Clank is supposed to be.
Yeah, and I think Ratchet and Clank definitely has a pathway to being kind of the one that takes it. Deathloop, I think, also just based on its initial, like, very critically well received, you know, that certainly. I don't think Resident Evil will take it, and I love that Psychonauts 2 made it into this list because I'm super happy for Double Fine. I just think, you know, Ratchet and Clank probably will edge it out, and then Metroid Dread. It's interesting because the conversation around that game seems to have really fallen off pretty quick. And while people kind of loved it at first, it doesn't seem like it is like maintaining the kind of momentum that I think Nintendo had hoped it would. And then that really leaves the sole kind of indie game, It Takes Two.
It's funny, and the sole indie game, forget Deathloop and its slight styling on it, but it is a similar, very similar genre. But It Takes Two is the only really original style of game that's out there with co-op, couch co-op, you know, Pete and Shell playing it together, bringing that in. So,
and I could see that maybe squeaking in, like they kind of, you know, every reviewer out there is just like, yeah, but it's different and it's unique. And so maybe they do give it to It Takes Two. We'll have to see how that pans out. But, and it was Lord. Lord was the one talking about it. He says, great co-op, so different to anything else. Agreed. The only thing is, I do wonder if, because it is co-op mandatory, if that may hamper it.
Yeah. Well, but if it's already farty, if it's
already farty.
Yeah. If it's the internal business, their internal media guys looking at it, they, you know, they won't really, they'll just want to look at the art of it or the gameplay of it, where anyway, it doesn't matter, whatever.
All right, last little bit of news story, and this was this actually happened at the beginning of the week. On Monday we had the 20th anniversary Xbox show. I was really curious as to what this was going to be. I didn't know, and it was a really kind of nice little packaged event. What didn't overstay its, you know, its length and welcome. I think it was about a half hour all said and done. They just kind of talk about the history of Xbox and kind of celebrating its 20 years of being around. They did make a few announcements within the show. Nothing new in terms of games, though. Although I suppose you could say Halo wasn't a new announcement, but They did announce a new documentary series called Power On, the story of Xbox. I guess it's a 6-part series that will have interviews and footage covering the beginning of Xbox to where it is today. And that will drop on December 13th of this year. So looking forward to that. I love those kind of retrospective looks into the histories of gaming and kind of how everything happened. Be curious to see if they do shed any new light on some of the stories we've seen. I'd love to hear conversations to be, maybe more frank conversations about the Don Matrix, final days. And, I still remember that whole Xbox One conference and all the just stupid things he was saying and really sunk that console coming out of the gate. And then he was replaced, fairly soon after that. So that would be interesting. They also showed off a little bit, a little tease on the Halo live action series. It is moved, by the way, from Showtime, which I had specifically subscribed to Showtime. Say thank you for changing this up on me. Yeah, I know. but I knew about this actually once it kind of had come to light. So I've switched that out. Oh. Still not Paramount Plus though. But anyway, so it'll be streaming on Paramount Plus in 2022. It showed off basically the guy that's playing the lead of Master Chief, who is Pablo Schreiber. And basically you're looking at him from behind. You see the scars on his back as he's, I guess, putting on armor. Again, cautiously optimistic, really want this to be good. We'll see. We will see. But something to look forward to in 2022. And then, of course, they did announce at the very end of the show that the Halo Infinite multiplayer beta was live. And that was season one of the Heroes of Reach, which, by the way, they have said that they are extending Heroes of Reach to May. So in terms of season passes, that season pass will go all the way to May, which also means, unfortunately for some, they also said that this likely means the campaign co-op and the Forge mode also are going to be pushed out and delayed. I think they're taking some additional time with those modes. So maybe, there's part of me that's wondering, maybe because they've had such a good reception to the multiplayer as well as to the campaign preview so far, that they're kind of like, okay, we actually have a little bit of time. Let's take some extra time with these modes. It will behoove us to do that. Maybe they just need some more polishing. Who knows? But either way, it's unfortunate news for some people once you kind of realize the context of that. But the good news is we've got Halo already. It's out. And that's it for the news. So, Kim. Yeah.
Yes.
We have a lengthy new release calendar we should dive into.
Alrighty, we'll do that.
Just hold on a second, because this mightn't last long. It's like me in bed. Give me a second, because if I don't do this here, it might be all over before we know it.
I think you only need about 30 seconds there, Robin. Like you in bed.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. And twice. Yeah.
Twice, you've got energy of a young man.
Okay, let's go. All right. And the new releases, Kim.
All righty. The new releases for November 21st to November 28th are Farming Simulator 22. God, I can't believe there's so many of them fucking games. But anyway, Farming Simulator 22 for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and Stadia, November 22nd. And those are your new releases. Brandon. A hell of a list.
Yeah, that is a hell of a list. We're officially in that period where
The dead zone.
Everybody's like, this is the dead zone. It's holiday time in the U.S., which of course means everybody else follows suit. Sorry, you're basically having Thanksgiving whether you want it to or not.
Right.
Much like the vaccine in some countries. So nobody wants to release a game. Farming Simulator 22 is out, and that is it. They are the sole new release, and they're going to crush it. They are going to crush it.
Believe it or not, there are some people that are excited for that. I don't understand it myself, living on a farm, but whatever, to each their own. So.
Well, maybe, Kim, maybe this is some way to get plowed.
Right?
I will be here all week, folks. All right, Robin.
Oh, damn.
Victory's achieved. I feel like we've kind of hit a slow
low. Well, victory's achieved. We'll chat. We'll do a live chat right now. It may be retired at the end of the year, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll review things like quizzes and victory achieved again, because there's not the same drive. And you know, how do you encourage people? It was there for a reason back a few years ago, when that reason has disappeared, because we're back to the dipping in and out. And
I think you should just award me all the money all the time.
Absolutely. No problem.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think you're right.
You're love so it.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. So, so well done, everybody that didn't finish your games. You're absolutely fantastic.
Victory's achieved.
Pardon, Kevin?
Gears 4 eventually. So,
yeah. Well, yeah.
We will. But we have to think about some new way we can encourage people to.
Right. To besides, Kim, I can't anyway, so it doesn't
matter. We know you will finish Gears 4 eventually. Yes. Much like other things will happen eventually. all right. I suppose, we're heading into the holidays.
Lord, what did we miss? Lord, we missed one.
He said I sent one in. He's giving you the dirty look. Lord's giving you the dirty bird.
Oh, dirty bird. I had two pricks in me this week. Forgive me.
Lucky bastard. I mean, what?
They're not the pricks you want, Kim.
right.
Just need Craig.
They were so thin and painful.
You need Craigslist. You really do. Lord, will pick
Lord
up.
You could just tell us in the chat.
I'll sing it. I'll sing it to you. What did you finish, Lord? What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. Yeah.
Oh. This is a failure of monumental proportion.
Yeah,
this is
worse. Anyway,
Omno.
No, he finished Omno. And Lord, this week, finished Omno. Well done. He thought it was one of the best games he's played this year. Maybe not the very best, but right up there. So he would highly recommend playing Omno. And well done to Lord. This week, he finished this. And this sound clip is just for you, Lord. You are
only
the winner
for Lord.
Achieved this week.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. Victory's achieved.
And Boomer finished Gears 4 this week. Necktie for the lead of victory achieved. Unfortunately, Lord Boomer. just pips it because Gears 4 is an old ass game. And,
I think we should play it again, Robin.
For that, you get this.
You all have a victory.
That's all you're getting.
All right. Robin got so excited. He had spittle coming out. It was crazy.
Spittle's not recognized. Oh,
all right. Hey, let's wrap this show up. I think at this point, Robin is spitting into his microphone. Kim might be wetting her pants. She's laughing so much. It's that special time of year where we literally thank all of the people for the creation of this great country.
All of the people, of course, some of the time.
We thank the Native American people for being duped into giving us all of this land. So thank you. We're thankful for that. And
they were conquered, Greg. Conquered, they were.
Well, or conned. I like the conned aspect of it.
Some nice beads, huh?
Right. I'll give you this if you give me all of that. All right. Let's start it off. Kim, give me some inspiring words. Slash it out. Let's go.
All right. I'm going to give a shout out to our chatters, and those are Boomer and Lord. So thanks, fellas, for dropping in the chat. Otherwise, it was just going to be crickets, I have a feeling. I guess even though Thanksgiving is not here yet, by the time we have the next podcast, it will have been here. So happy Thanksgiving to all those who are going to partake. I'm actually having our Thanksgiving on Saturday after Thanksgiving, because that's the only time it seemed like it would work. So, I don't know. So I may be extra fun come the podcast Sunday because I might still be full of booze. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, everyone go on. Have a nice week if you're celebrating Thanksgiving or if it's just a normal week for you, whatever. Have a good week and we'll see you Sunday. Over to you there, Robbins.
Yeah, thanks very much. Enjoyed tonight. That was good. I needed this. I'd like to say hello to our fourth seat tonight, which was at Four Doors More S'mores. I don't know where that comes from in the slightest. To people out there, I'm coming your way, America, very soon. Getting very excited now. Everything's really, really ramping up. Just to Lord and Boomer in the chat there, thank you very, very much. Great crack. And to Kyle, good lad. Stick with it, boy. Cash in now. Cash in. Cash. Okay. And Greg, take me away from here before I say something really bad.
All right. The word of the day, not guilty.
Three shots in the teaser.
All right. Shout out to the two of you. Thank you for making the podcast. You know what? I love this podcast. It is so much fun. I always enjoy my time. And I love our listeners. Shout out to Lord and Boomer. Absolutely being part of the chat. Thank you. You guys are a crack up. Look, I'll be honest. Once the carpet is in, it does not match the drapes. My carpet does not match the drapes. It's honest. It's being truthful.
I want to see your knees next week.
No, you do not. let's just go out and have a great week, everybody. Enjoy the week. If you do celebrate Thanksgiving and have the time off, absolutely enjoy it. Have some pumpkin pie or apple pie, whatever you like best. Me personally, pumpkin pie has to happen on Thanksgiving. It's a necessary thing. But honestly, I could eat pumpkin pie anytime.
Yep.
Also, I have to shout out my wife right now who is refilling my champagne glass as we speak.
Wow.
So big shout out to her.
Table, or where is she right now to do
she
that?
She is literally not under the table, off to the side of the table. We'd be talking a whole different thing if it was under the table.
There she is.
I really thought I was going to get hit.
God.
All right. Extra Life, real quick. Awesome. Yep, Extra Life.
We did cheer yous all out last week.
Yes, I saw that. Love that. I actually got some additional donations in, finished up at 2,500 for this year. It was fantastic. I now actually have a little neon light coming to me, apparently. So that's kind of cool. We'll see what that looks like, if it's actually
worth it. Stay away from the light, Greg. Stay away from the light.
Don't walk into the light unless you're ready. All right. We're really done at this point. Robin, get us out of here.
Let's go, Brandon.
You're listening to the Overseas Connection Podcast. Time next week.